Welcome to the Scottish Watches podcast. We have got a great show today, actually. Not that any of our other shows are shite, but this one is really good because there's been an absolute ton of releases. We haven't had Baselworld yet because it's not happening. We haven't had what used to be SIHH because the world is still in lockdown. But we have had a ton of releases from all types of brands across the planet, from the micro brands right through to the big guys. So how's Dave?
Dave's feeling significantly more perky than he has been for the last couple of weeks because actually the sun is out and the weather is mild. And spring is coming and various idiotic politicians have hinted that we'll get out of lockdown at some point in the next 600 years. So, you know, yeah, I'm actually feeling pretty perky. Managed to get out of the house this morning as well. Actually had to go and see a client for work. So it's the first time I've been out in a while to actually physically see someone rather than looking at a screen. So yeah, generally pretty perky. What about your fine self? You got out on your motorbike the other week, didn't you?
You are indeed correct. After mentioning to Rick on the last show that I was going to try and get out on it, I did. And what happened was I went out to recharge the battery in it because I don't disconnect it because I'm an idiot. And I plugged in my battery charger, turned it on, and it started reporting that the battery in the bike was dead.
Nothing worse.
So that wasn't good. And I thought, oh, this is a pain in the arse. I'm going to have to take the bikes to bits. It's not an easy process changing a battery on a bike. It's not just like popping the bonnet and a couple of bolts and out it comes. And then I thought, I'll put the key in and see what happens. Put the key in, flicked it over, and it started first time.
Nice.
So my battery charger is kaput, not the bike. So that was good. So I jumped on it, checked the tire pressures. They were all right. Gave him a bit of a boost and then just went out. And don't tell Nicola, but I did go out with my 5 mile boundary.
You are an absolute outrage. You.
I am.
You are. I mean, how far out your boundaries did you go? Did you go deep?
I went deep, Dave. You've listened to the last episode, haven't you?
Makes a change, to be fair, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. I know. But no, it was. It's just nice, isn't it, when the weather gets out and you can get out on the motorbike or just outside in the sun and feel
a bit of sun,
in your face.
Like you said, a little bit of sun. It doesn't feel like a prison sentence.
Makes a massive difference. So yeah, well, let's see what happens. But other than that, yeah,
listen, we've got sunlight, we've got degrees over 10 outside in Scotland, we've got all these new watch releases, we've had the emails through from Watch and Wonder saying that they've got stuff coming soon, all these different brands that we knew of that we weren't speaking to have got in touch with us, so yeah, things are looking up, man. 2021, it's the year to have. So what are you wearing on the wrist?
What am I wearing? So I actually had two different things on today, funnily enough. I had on my Girard Perregaux Infinity, which is loving it. So that's had that on. And actually, currently, I have got on a little piece from Russia, the Raketa Big Zero, which is a really, actually, really enjoying it. It's a cool piece. It's
Have you had a Russian watch before, apart from the Joker?
No would be the answer. So apart from my Chaikin, no, I have not had a Russian watch before.
Okay. Well, tell the listeners about this. I know the watch because I've had one up for, I think it was a day or two, do some videos. So you tell the listeners all about it.
So it's relatively conventional, I suppose, in that it's a round dialed stainless steel case.
And it tells the time and stuff.
Absolutely. Well, you know, nice, you know, it really cases, the case is lovely. It's not anything kind of outlandish in terms of design, but it's well made. It's nicely finished, kind of combination of polishing and brushing on it, which, you know, it looks really well done. The dial is kind of a textured dial. I don't really know if it's a stamp dial or whatever, but so it's a kind of nice texture, a wee bit like, how would I describe it?
Artex?
No, it's maybe a wee bit more kind of, you know, it's not artisanal in terms of the way it's been made, but it's got the kind of look a little bit like a Royal Oak, like, you know, almost that Clou de Paris, the little squares and stuff like that, but it's not
Tapisserie.
It's not as detailed as that when you look at it under a loop, but certainly it's got that effect to it. White dial, it also comes in a black dial, kind of nice edged numerals that are loomed, and it's got obviously that, it's called the Big Zero, it's got the kind of, I suppose it's their trademark, the zero at the 12 o'clock position rather than a 12 or a marker. It's got the zero because it kind of falls in line with the story of Glasnost during the kind of you know, towards the end of the Soviet Union, where Mikhail Gorbachev kind of said that was the reset or the big zero of kind of resetting what the Soviet Union was about, and he famously wore one with that zero there, so it's got that kind of nod back to that in it. I suppose maybe similar to Seiko in that the movement is a manufacturer movement. They make the movements themselves, a bit maybe like Seiko do it. They kind of, you know, they do lower end movements. So, you know, everything's done in house by them. Kind of, it's not super high refined finishing, but it's really nicely finished for a watch that I think is around about the £700-£750 mark, give or take. So, you know, it's a really nicely put piece, a really nicely put together piece. Nice alternative to things like, you know, Seiko, maybe Seiko Tuna, Seiko Turtles, maybe some of the lower end Seiko Presage, maybe some Citizen pieces. So it's another nice alternative out there in that kind of, you know, £500 to £1,000, dollar, euro, whatever your currency is, mark. So yeah, really cool little piece. I think it's nicely put together.
Did you get that one from Pietro or did you get that somewhere else?
Oh no, that came from Pietro and it kind of came about because
I was hoping you weren't going somewhere else.
No. I mean, obviously, no.
I get everything off eBay.
Yeah, Pietro and myself obviously talk a lot about kind of, you know, Russian watchmaking and different independent brands a lot. You know, aside from business and everything else, we just talk about it because, you know, to be fair, he is pretty passionate about it, and you know, he's getting pretty keen on the brand Raketa. So, and again, it's not something that is super easily accessible up to this point. You know, Pietro now having them in the UK is going to make them much more available, as you said previously. Previously, maybe you had to, you know, we had to search about on eBay, or you had to have a dig about on various different sites or whatever to try and get them, and you had to wait a while, and if you got it and didn't like it, it was not easy if you could even send it back. Whereas, you know, with him having access to them now, you can actually get to see these things, which I think will help to get them out there. You know, half the battle, I suppose, with these brands is...
And an FYI for people listening, we talk about Pietro because we get a lot of watches to deal with from him, but he doesn't sponsor the show. He's not an advertiser on the show or anything like that. Just so you know, this isn't a paid advert.
No.
I just have to put it out there. But no, his stuff is good. He doesn't bring shit across. All the stuff is decent. I'm looking at the photos of it just now. The price point is 541 XFAT, which is $650, and it is worth the money.
Probably 750 euros then, that's where I've seen it.
Compare it to a Seiko, Christopher Ward, things like that, then it's a worthy contender, and it's different. Not saying that you're going to bump into 20 different people all wearing Christopher Wards when you're out and about, when we're allowed out and about, but this is something different. And if you've had things in the past and you're looking for something at that price point, curiosity purchase or whatever, it's definitely one to look at. I'm just looking at the photos here.
I think one of the big things I'd say about it is, I suppose there's probably a degree of ingrained snobbery where you're thinking, oh, a watch from Russia, really? Is it, you know, like the old, harken back to days of Lada or old Skoda, you know, and you're kind of like, oh, is it really going to be any good? But
did they not get into space before anyone else on the planet?
I think you might be correct there, yes.
So they might actually have a bit of a clue about stuff? I mean, obviously, they're not so good when you clear things, but we don't talk about that.
I mean, I think for me, the big thing about it was actually finally being able to get one in my hand, have a play with it.
I love playing with it in my hand. It's the best way.
I mean, yeah. You've got to start gentle, but, you know, it can a bit rough and tumble. And
you got to get the lube warmed up on all the points, the jewels and things.
Ultimately, when it's fully lubed and you've had a good play with it and you've got your head around it, it is a happy ending for everybody.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's 38.8 mil. Why can't they just say 39? Sapphire Crystal, as you mentioned, it is an in-house manufactured 2615 automatic movement, and it's got laser engraved decoration on it, which looks decent, actually.
Yeah,
I mean, nice again, for the price point, it's good. 40 hour power reserve, and it runs at 18,000 vibrations per hour.
Yeah, display case back as well. So it's, you know, it's like genuinely is a nicely finished watch for the money, as good as anything I've picked up for the money, put it like that.
And Mizzy L will have lots of photos in the show notes.
There we go.
So you can play along at home.
Indeed. Right, okay then. So, Ricky.
Yes?
Russian watch are you wearing on your wrist?
I thought you'd never ask.
You're full of shit.
I'm wearing a Vostok. I bought this a couple of months ago, before, I think it was around about the time of the second birthday, because I was hunting, as you guys all know, for a commemorative watch for the second birthday of the show, and there were so many options, and while I was looking for options, this thing popped up. Logan, friend of the show, the TikTok collector on Instagram, has got such an eclectic mix of different watches at different price points, and he had an upmarket Amphibia. That I hadn't seen before. And I looked at it and went, I've seen Amphibias and they're about 60 quid on eBay, and I've got a Commanderski and things like that already. I've got the Raketa, Copernic, and I've now got the new version of it. So I've got quite a few Russian watches and I quite like them. But this looked different. It looked as if they'd put some care and attention into it. So I asked him where he got it from. He said it was Meronom, which is the factory shop for Vostok over in the Soviet Union or whatever the hell it's called today. And I went on there, had a look. The one he had was away, sold out, but there was this crazy looking orange thing on, looks like an isoframe orange strap, polished, Planet Ocean style anodized aluminium bezel insert, and it's got a metallic, what would you call that, a brushed orange metallic dial. And I hadn't seen anything like this. I'm not saying it looks good, I'm saying it looks different. So I bought that and they said it'll be up to 4 months to get delivered because it's coming from Russia. And I thought, yeah, okay, whatever. It'll be a nice little surprise when something appears anyway. Took less than a month to come over. No customs duty or anything like that to be paid on it. And it is really, really good. I put a photo of it on Instagram, zoomed in. The little indexes sparkle, just like you'd find with a more expensive watch. As I say, about 120 quid. It's got an engraved case back. It uses the system that Vostok are renowned for, where the more pressure that's applied to the actual watch, the more it compresses and makes itself watertight.
Yeah.
So there is a story somewhere, and I wouldn't do it justice trying to recount it myself, but we'll get Ms. Yeah, Elf just... in the show notes, the story of how the Russians figured out how to do water resistance better than everybody else.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the pictures of it. Cool looking piece, that, actually.
It's different. See, when the light catches it, like outside with that sun thing in the sky that we talk about sometimes, it is brilliant, and it is total Iron Brew colours. And I think it's a crazy looking watch. And in the summer, wearing that with some kind of crazy colour scheme, it would look pretty damn funky. Not saying it's beautiful, because it ain't. It's very, it's like an industrial ladder car that someone's got a spoiler and big alloys on.
Yeah, so it's like a pimp, pimped up skip.
Pimp my Vostok. The only thing that I'm going to say, there's two things about it. One is the way the mechanism in these things, if you haven't played with one before, very, very odd. Every watch feels as if it's broken from the factory, because when you unwind the crown, and you go to wind the thing, it just freewheels. It doesn't do anything. You've got to apply pressure out the way on the crown to engage the winding mechanism. But if you do it too much, then it pops into the setting position. So you have to be quite careful with it. It doesn't hack. It is hand wind. It is automatic. And the only reason that I say this is dangerous, not fit for purpose, is it's a dive watch, because it's called Amphibia, but the bezel is a friction fit, so it goes left, right, and all over the place.
So it's unidirectional?
No, bidirectional.
Oh, sorry, that's what I meant, bidirectional, But it could even pop off, probably?
Nah, it won't pop off. It's on there, but it rotates round like a GMT that's friction fit. So if you were diving with it and you bumped it in the wrong direction, you could be thinking you've got more time downstairs than you actually did have, and it'd be curtains for you. But that's the Soviet way, isn't it?
I can't believe you managed to fit those two words in there.
What ones?
Downstairs and curtains. Jesus Christ, Ricky.
That's horrible, Dave.
you started talking about diving.
Dave. Come on, that's it. That's my job. You're trying to do me out of work here. Right, so that's a wrist check out of the way. That only took about 20 minutes. Well done, guys. We're here all week. But speaking of dive watches and things like that and crazy people in the European area, Russia isn't European. It's close to Europe, wasn't it?
Russia's so big. Part of Russia is definitely in Europe, and part of it's in Asia, and part of it...
stretches everywhere.
I think it's technically over... It's definitely over two, if not three, continents.
Bill, are you Dave? It's incontinence.
Incontinence, yeah, that's the one. Boom, boom.
Nice.
Definitely the western part of Russia is European. The eastern part is definitely Asian. And it kind of, I don't know what the north end to Siberia and stuff, I'm guessing. Yeah, it's northern Europe,
That's a watch that's something to do with Eastern Europe or whatever. Now, all this talk of diving that we're going on about here. The dive watches and all the rest of it. I put a short video clip on our Instagram page because I was on YouTube and one of the channels that I follow, called Beyond the Press, I think, are these crazy guys. I don't know if they're from Denmark or Finland or somewhere like that. And they take things and apply vast amounts of pressure to it. So they have, what they've done recently, they have taken like a CD and put it up to something like 200,000 RPM to see what would happen. And filmed it in slow motion. And that's the kind of stuff I love, especially at 3 a.m. when I'm emailing you. And they did one where they took a couple of watches and put them in a pressure tank. Now, when you're getting your watch service and you're getting your gaskets changed or whatever, usually whoever you're taking it to will do some kind of pressure testing on it to make sure everything's okay. They'll take it to 50 meters, they'll take it to 100, 200, whatever it is. And some people have got machines that will go higher than that, some people don't.
Yep.
These guys had a tank that went to, I think, 3 kilometres.
Oh, yeah, that's going to hurt if you're in there.
Right? So what did they didn't test a planet ocean. They didn't test a deep sea or a sea dweller. They didn't test anything like that. They took a 100-pound citizen, was it?
There was definitely... it was a citizen eco, I think, of some description I did see. Yeah, that's right.
And there was a 200-metre something or other that I didn't quite know the name of. And they basically popped it in a little display case, put it inside this chamber, and compressed the hell out of it. Mm-hmm. And you got to see the crystal on the citizen explode with the pressure. And the way that it went, I didn't expect it to go that way at all. And you can see when he took it out, he rotated it round, and the case back, it was as if somebody had fired a shotgun into it. It completely pancaked in the way. And as you were watching the video before it actually imploded, and I mean, it got to some serious depth. It wasn't just 100 metres it got to, maybe 300 or 400 before it started to show problems. And you could see the middle of the watch where the pinion is, the hands and the pinions starting to deform before the crystal cracked. Then he popped the one that was rated to 200 or 300 metres in, which was from the brand I can't remember. And they took that to the 3,000 metre depths, and it didn't break. The mechanism stopped working. The pressure stopped the hands moving around, but nothing broke. And I'm thinking, wow, these things are actually pretty well engineered. And it's probably, like, as I say, the gaskets that fail, not the actual mechanism or the metalwork. So great little video. Did you see it?
Yeah, I did watch it. And you're right, you know, it's... I mean, it was pretty obvious that the citizen was going to go pop at some point, but when it did, it just I suppose it does show you when it goes, it really goes. It's pretty instantaneous, so it's a bit like the thought of, I wouldn't want to be in a submarine that suddenly decided to go deep without actually having any ability to stop
itself.
How deep? Very deep. Deep.
Bend deep.
Deep. Bend deep. Oof, that's, I mean, there's deep and then there's just a bit too far.
That's a great video. I only took maybe 20 seconds out of the main thing and then linked it and put right over the top of it, source material, where it came from, check the bio for a link straight to the proper YouTube thing. People still replied to it and went, that's a great test, guys. Well done.
Jesus Christ.
What chance have you got? What chance have you got? So next thing is, you were on Clubhouse, I think, maybe.
Clubhouse, we're talking about Clubhouse.
It's on life support. It's not dead yet, but it's on life support. Because every time I go in, apart from last night, because last night there was activity, Catelyn asked if I wanted to co-host a show with her on there where we went deep.
Did you go deep? Excellent.
We went deep. We went a bit deeper than usual, and there was no filter. It wasn't being recorded, but you know, you've always got that sneaky suspicion that a recording of something is going to end up somewhere at some point. So I kept a lid on it a little bit, but still let things go. And it was things that annoy you in the watch industry or in the watch scene community.
Yeah.
And she went for a little bit, and as we're kind of going for it, we started to spot our friends from brands in the room. So we had the folks from Oris, we had Grand Seiko in there. Constantine Shaken was in there, which is really odd because apparently he doesn't speak English, so so we had a good laugh in there. And she was talking about the people wearing bracelets and stuff and bangles and how it scuffs against watches, because one of the guys was saying, you know, wear your watch, don't worry about it getting damaged and all the rest of it, they have to be worn, you could be knocked down by a bus the next day. And Catelyn said, well, you know, I've got a Grand Seiko, it's really nice. And the first guy went, yeah, but if you got a Grand Seiko, I mean, don't scuff that up because it's got Zoratsu polishing on it. I'm thinking, wow, the double standard are worse than our podcast here. I'm enjoying myself. So all that was talked about, and Catelyn was talking about the bracelets and the bangles and the beads and things and how they scuff it up. And I said, well, 4 years ago I did that when I had my Batman, and I was wearing a bracelet beside it. I just cut a tiny bit of clear tape, put it on the case side so that it wouldn't scuff it, and it's perfect. It's absolutely fine, you don't see it. And she said, oh, there's these guys that now create kits that you can put all these tiny little stickers back on your watch. And I'm thinking, yeah, I've seen that. That's just taking it too far. It's like the guys that have got the bumper bras in the front of their car to protect the front of the bumper from scratches. But then when you take it off, that bit of paint's perfect, but the rest of the bonnet's completely screwed. So we did a joke and laugh about that. And then another guy in the room said, oh, those little kits that you get for your watch, that's a bit like when you went to your grandma's house and she had all the plastic wrapping still on her sofa.
And I know where this was going before you even said it.
And I said, well, that's probably because your grandma was a squirter.
And as you know, she's got to protect her sofa. You know, like
she does. Those.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you haven't made all the payments from DFS, you have to protect the sofa.
You do. Like Russia, she's incontinent. So, yeah, that was Clubhouse last night. And that was the kind of jokes that you get away with on there that you probably don't get. Don't even know if I'm going to bleep that out in this show. Might bleep that out.
What, the squirting? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Disappointing.
So it was all good. All the guys were in there. Rob from Grand Seiko, Handsome Rob, was in. He was getting a real hard time because Grand Seiko had taken their entire 2021 catalogue and shoehorned it into the internet, and the space of one day. So we will get onto that later on. We'll try. We might actually have a second show just to go through all the Grand Seiko stuff. Mm. They dropped everything across the entire range, and there are some absolute crackers in there. The only negative to that is we're not going to be, or not just us, the whole world isn't getting enough time to go through absolutely every single thing. So, but we'll try our best. Yep. We got in touch with Tissot when the PRX came out, and nobody got back to us. And I happened to see it online, and I think I probably mentioned it in the show, one of the sellers here in the UK, CW Sellers / Dura Watches, and they had it online, and I thought, that's cool. I'm going to chance my arm. Got no contacts there that I know of. Drop them an email, see what the story is. So I dropped them an email, and they said, yep, we got it here, blah, blah, blah. Give us a phone. Gave them a phone, and the guy that I spoke to initially thought I was wanting to buy one, because he doesn't understand the concept of reviews and all the rest of it, because he works selling watches. I said, no, listen, I'm from Scottish Watches. I'm just looking to get one for a week or two just to try it out, see what it's like, because there's been a lot of interest in it, and this could be the new hot potato of the year, a bit like the Casio Q-Timex that we've had out before. Yep. He says, all right, oh, you're Scottish Watches. I've heard of you guys. So that was good. That got us in the door. He put us in touch with somebody in their PR team, who then phoned me up, and we had a good chat on the phone about things. And I said, this is what we're after, really. Blah, blah, blah. Can you help? He went, no problem at all. I'll get this sorted out for you. And true to his word, within a day, I had a box from CW Sellers turned up. Massive box. It was like Omega-sized delivery. And inside that was basically their custom shoe box. You open that up and there's tons of packaging material to the level of Fears and the limited edition when they send up 20 grand watches, things like that. And inside there was the Tissot box. It was a bit like the Russian doll thing getting through it all. And popped out the PRX, spent a bit of time trying to resize it because it wasn't the easiest thing in the world to do. But when it was resized and on the wrist for something that costs round about the 250 mark with all the kind of 10% discounts and all the rest of it that kicks about, this is an incredible watch for the money. Yes, it's quartz, but it wears great. And I was saying on the show, I was quite interested in perhaps getting a Rolex Oyster Quartz or something like that with that shape, that look. This has scratched that itch. Obviously, it's not worth the same money. It won't increase in value, but it is a good looking watch. And you've got one because you went and bought one with your own pennies, didn't you?
I did indeed, yeah. I mean, everything you've said there, I agree with. It's from a point of view of, you know, for, I mean, what's it, full list price, I think it's like £300 UK, £295, whatever. And as you say, there's plenty of little tickles on out there, though. So you can get one from, say, anywhere from £250 to £300. But even at full price, it's an absolutely fantastically made watch. I would easily have guessed that could have been £499, £599. There's no super refinement there. It's a decent quality solid bracelet, though. The case is really well done, nicely finished, kind of a couple of different finishes on there with the brushing and the polishing. I've got the blue dial, which is kind of a slightly different texture to the one you've got, but like as you say, you really can't knock it, you know, for you know, if someone wants to try something that's integrated bracelet or get that kind of just look about it but doesn't want to be spending, you know, the big money and or doesn't have the ability to spend the big money, this is a great looking piece that actually has a bit of wrist presence. It just looks fantastic. So yeah, it's something I would thoroughly recommend for anybody if you just want something really interesting on the wrist for not a lot of money.
When did you get yours? When did yours turn up?
Couple of weeks ago. So when did they come out? I think they came out three weeks ago, something like that. Yeah, probably about 2 weeks ago, something like that. I spotted a blue one, managed to pick it up, got a little tickle on it, and it was a little tickle without even asking, to be honest, and just thought it's an absolute cracker for the money. So it's really cool, just a great looking piece for £300.
Right, so details on this one: it has got that Genta look, that's what all the reviews kind of said of it when it came out. So it's got the integrated bracelet, you can remove it quite easy because it's got the little clips on the back, so you can pop it out without using a tool. Resizing it was a little bit tricky. It doesn't come with any tools in the box because you wouldn't really expect that, around about £250-300, but on Amazon I picked up a new resizing tool for about $10, a metal one with lots of spare parts, and that is something anybody should have in their toolkit because you need one. The one I had before was just a little plastic guy and it was a bit ropey and it was about to snap, so I decided for $10 I need one of these, got it, and it resized it perfectly, instantaneously, didn't do any damage to it whatsoever. It is push pins, it's not screws because obviously it's inexpensive. You told me that although it's got an ETA quartz in it, most of the Eta quartzes are thermally compensated, is that right?
Yeah, the vast majority of them are. Again, I don't think there's any particularly detailed information out there about what they're using in that one, but most of the quartz modules that Eta do are thermally compensated. This one might not be, but I haven't found anything to say it is or it isn't, but as I say, again, it's £295, and even a non-thermally compensated quartz is still going to be pretty accurate compared to your commoner garden expensive mechanical watch, to be honest.
Right, doing a little bit of the Google. This has got an Eta Calibre F06.115, and there is a cool website called calibrecorner.com, and if you go on there, it gives you lots of info on it. Battery life between 70 to 94 months. It's got hacking. This has been on the market since September 2019, this caliber.
So it's quite new.
So it looks fairly new. And it's got the Eta Heavy Drive system, which is a new anti-shock tech for quartz watches. Right, okay, we've talked about movement. We probably shouldn't have gone quite as deep on that one. So back to the watch itself. Yep, it's got the Royal Oak kind of look, the Oyster Quartz look. Integrated bracelet is decent. Doesn't have a lot of jangle on it. The butterfly clasp on the back of it is incredible. Hidden clasp, twin trigger deploying on the sides, pop it open. And this is the same clasp that I've seen on a whole load of Longines automatic chronographs that are around about the 1,500 mark. So it's decent there. Case back, solid, obviously. It's very, very thin. Sapphire crystal, very legible, easy to read. Date window's decent. And the second hand bangs right across the top of all the indexes. So it isn't skewed or anything like that. It hits them as it should do, and it looks more expensive. I wanted to do a bit of a comparison because this is 250. Let's just call it 250 because that's the price people will pay. I wanted to compare this to like the Q-Time X, which is about 150 to 175. And for an extra $100, you get a ton more.
It's night and day, to be honest. The finishing on the case and the bracelet is absolutely night and day compared to, say, a Q-Timex. So for me, you know, you've got that, let's say, under just over £100, you're expecting it'll be plastic, it'll be a Swatch watch, fine, great. And then, you know, you've got that kind of Timex category. But yeah, I mean, I think if you were to compare, as you say, the Q-Timex, which is a cool little watch, don't get me wrong, it is cool, but you compare that quality-wise to this, they are absolutely night and day. And you know, I mean, some of the Q-Timexes are pushing up towards 200 now, about 170, 180 for some of them. You know, so for really not a lot more money, as you say, you know, give or take £100 more, it's
less than £100 more. Q-Timex is 159, and it will shred you. It doesn't have a solid bracelet, it pulls the hairs out.
Finishings at best, machine finishing, you know, and
printed dial, loom plots are printed, doesn't have any applied indexes.
Oh yeah, it's a whole different kettle of fish. And as I say, I genuinely was surprised when I saw it and didn't know the price. I thought, yeah, that's probably around about £500, and I thought that would be decent value. And once I had it in my hand, I thought, absolutely, that could quite easily be £500 and still be a decent value watch, to be honest.
Decent brand, part of the Swatch Group, Eta Quartz inside. I definitely recommend it. So there we go. We haven't done a proper watch review on the show, but I just wanted to have a good chat about it because although it's going back, it's a shame. So thanks a lot to the guys down at CW Sellers, Dura Watches, for sending this one up. If you're interested in it, they've got these guys in stock on the website. So be quick, jump on there. And as I say, there are discount codes floating about and you can grab one for yourself because we recommend it.
Absolutely.
Next up, there is some news. We've spoken about the Alliance of British Clock and Watchmakers in the past. We had Mike France from Christopher Ward and Roger Smith. I nearly said Mike Smith there, but
Mike Smith.
That's a guy that crashed helicopters back in the 80s and was popping Sarah Green from Blue Peter. Different guy, completely different guy. Anyway, so the first Alliance thing that's going to happen of note is going to be something called the Open Dial, and that's a live show with Roger Smith over Niall Aman. This was supposed to happen in January, but due to lockdown restrictions over there, it couldn't go ahead. I was supposed to go to Edinburgh to help work out with it and do a sort of live broadcast thing. It's been rescheduled, so this is now happening on the 10th of March at 5 p.m. GMT, and it's open to all members who are part of the Alliance. That is the trade organisation for watchmakers, designers, creators in the UK, but also for enthusiasts as well. If you're into watches, which obviously are if you're listening to an hour-long podcast about the things, then go check this out. Link will be in the show notes. If you're interested interested in joining, you get a letter, certificate, pin badge, a bit like the old Beano Dennis the Menace fan club type thing for grown-ups. It's a great organisation. What they're trying to do, their mission statement is fantastic. They want to try and bring people together in the UK to further the cause, because if they can get all these different brands sort of helping each other out a little bit more, then perhaps more things can be done in the UK. Case design, CNCing, production of different things instead of having to go to Switzerland, having to go to the Far East or whatever. So if you're not already a member, check it out. This will be about an hour long. There'll be a live questions and answers session as well with Roger, who is just absolutely fantastic. Can't wait to meet the guy in real life, because I've only spoken to him on the phone a few times and recorded a couple of interviews. But if you're into your watches, you'll know who he is. He's going to talk about the George Daniels, the Axel Escapement a little bit, questions and answers, tour of his facility, talking about the Alliance, and it's going to be a good old time. So 5 p.m. GMT on March the 10th.
Yep, definitely. And I would just reiterate, you know, it's a cool opportunity. Join up. It's not a lot of money to join up either. But the big thing is, aside from supporting, you know, the industry within the UK, it's rare that, you know, the Swiss watch industry isn't known for being super open. You know, this is a real opportunity to get a bit more involved at the kind of grassroots level within the industry and, you know, get a bit more knowledge, you know, information and a bit more insight, which is normally something that the industry's not been particularly open about. So, you know, if you're interested in watches in any way, shape or form, you will absolutely learn things from the people that know what they're talking about, unlike us.
Unlike us, yeah. We'll basically remove information from your brain. As Kevin Bridges would say, we'll delete the cookies out of your head.
Yeah. We'll replace it with utter nonsense.
It's all good. So I just want to check out link in the show notes for that. Now, we're quite deep into this show, and I think it's about time we spoke about watches. But before we do that, did you know that Jason Statham is going to be wearing a Panerai in his next movie? Somebody actually sent me a press release to tell me this.
Well, that is somewhat depressing, isn't it? I mean, it's just giving Panerai, I mean, that's just going to give Rick even more kind of ammunition. It's just not acceptable.
Do you think Rick thinks he's a bit of a Jason Statham?
He's a Jason Donovan, maybe, but not a Jason Statham, that's for sure.
Jason and the Argonauts. So there's a new film coming out called, well, it's from Guy Ritchie, the guy that did Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels, Snatch, all kinds of other movies along those kind of mockney gangster things. And this one is called Five Eyes, which I thought was quite amusing because that's one more than what I used to call the specky people at school. No idea about what it's exactly about, but...
Well, I was guessing when I heard Five Eyes and I saw it, I'm guessing the only thing that I know Five Eyes is the nickname for coalitions of the five intelligence agency. Yeah, what is it? Britain, America. What is it? Britain, America, Australia, and two other countries. Don't know who they are. But yeah, so I was wondering if it's maybe that kind of whole spy narrative that's going on, maybe.
Yep, so the film is, as you said, it's about an MI6 operative and CIA agent who are recruited by Five Eyes Network to prevent the sale of deadly weapon technology, which sounds like any kind of crime thriller with Bond or ANR. But yeah. Guy Ritchie's movies are actually decent. One of my favourite ones recently was A Man from U.N.C.L.E., which was a sort of movie reboot of that 60s spy. It was a camp version of Mission Impossible, I thought.
Yeah, I suppose that's probably a good accurate description of it. It was quite good as well, though. I mean, I always find movies, they can, you know, they're kind of that, they're just good. They're a bit brainless, but they're good fun to watch, you know, based in some form of reality somewhere. But, you know, they're kind of, they're just good fun. Usually throw a bit of violence in, throw a bit of kind of sarky humour in, and usually pretty well shot. So yeah, I'm sure it'll be absolutely fine. To be honest, I'm just looking forward to any form of half-decent film to watch.
A year and a half ago when I was at a show down in England, there was a watch brand called Pinion, and he was showcasing different watches that were going to appear in future movies. One of them was a Guy Ritchie movie called The Gentleman, and another one was for John Cena in the latest Fast and Furious film that's obviously been delayed and should be out later this year. So yeah, Guy Ritchie movies are decent. I watched Rock and Roller last week with Tom Hardy and Gerard Butler, and that's not his best movie, but even that was still half decent, you know, past the time.
Yeah, and you mentioned to Rick, didn't you, what was it you'd watched from a while back that you'd never seen? Was it the
Departed?
That's what it was. I was thinking Unforgiven, but Departed, that's one of, I wouldn't say my favourite movies, but it's certainly up there. It's a fantastic movie, great soundtrack. But yeah, it's
a lot of thinking.
Oh, it's a long movie as well, but you know, it's as you said, loaded with celebrities, loaded with known names in there. But yeah, I think it's one, I don't watch it super often, but I do every time I watch it, I enjoy it. It's a great film.
So there we go. We've linked in Scottish Watches. So it's Five Eyes, Jason Statham, MI6, yada yada, lots of Panerai stuff. It's they even emailed me the list of the watches that are going to be in it. Among the watches that will be featured are the submersible Goldtec 42mm PAM 1164 and the submersible Carbotec 47mm PAM 16-16, just because I wanted to. I popped a little picture on our Instagram to see what would happen, and got a decent response. People seem to like Jason Statham. Who'd
I
known?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's never going to win. I wouldn't say he's ever going to win awards for being like some grandiose actor of some performance of note. But one thing he can
did
do
did you know
is
he was an he Olympic swimmer?
Did I know that? Now, do you know? That way, I would never have come to my mind that. But now that you say that, it does remind me of something that someone said to me at some point. So what was he, a diver? It strikes me as probably having the physique more for a diver than a swimmer, but you never know. You'll probably now tell me he was an ice skater.
He was part of the Britain's national swimming squad for 12 years, and then he was in the Commonwealth Games in the 10-metre, 3-metre, 1-metre competitions. But that'd be diving, would it not? Huh. Anyway, he did stuff. Anyway.
He did stuff, so there you go. Don't get me wrong, he's a talented guy.
And then he was modelling.
Yeah, I can see that. But yeah, he's done some decent films that if you enjoy just a bit of a don't think too much brainless action movie.
A bit like this podcast.
A bit like this podcast, that's true.
Death Race 2000, kinds of weird, wonderful shit.
All these weird and wonderful shits, which to be fair, they're never going to get down in history as great movies, but you'll quite happily sit and watch them.
Totally. What were you going to say? I'm sure you were about to say something of interest.
Was I going to say something of interest?
Will we make you happy? Will we talk about some new watches?
I go in then. Let's talk.
Omega.
Let's go deep. Omega.
Well, there we go. We're about to go deep with a diver. This is a dive edition. This really is the dive edition. Omega Seamaster Diver 300 meter chronograph America's Cup watch.
I quite like this.
Me too. It's daft looking.
I'm not super keen on the America's Cup tie-up, just because I'm not into sailing. I mean, to me, it's cool, right? I think it's a watch from a family that's from a diving heritage, from a diving heritage. So it's in and use about water. Okay, sailing, brilliant, using about water. I think it makes obviously considerably more sense to use that platform than something else they used than the older Lingy. But anyway, but I think nice little innovation with the little kind of lock where you can lock the chrono pushers. Pretty cool. So you can obviously set the regatta timer and use it as a timer, but you can lock them off so that if you bump or bang them, they're not going to, a bit like a locking bezel, say on a Plow Prof or whatever. Pretty cool little thing there. Looks actually quite nicely integrated into the case. Yes, it's going to stick out a little bit, but it looks pretty nicely integrated. I like the colourway. I know that I think red, white and blue, I believe, is the colours of the America's Cup or whatever, but actually...
And something else.
Yeah, but I mean, they are aesthetically good colours. They work well together. Mm-hmm. Union Jack, the American flag. There's so many flags out there that use red, white and blue. So,
Before you move on to that, see this chrono lock thing. Will that stop the pushers getting depressed if you're underwater, or does it just disconnect the functions? You'd still be pumping water into the mechanism.
That, to be honest, that I don't know, but I do know somebody who I can ask, to be honest. But I'm guessing it's obviously going to work one of two ways, isn't it? It's either going to physically block them from moving, or it's going to disconnect
them. Which would be the best? And have they done this before? Because I don't remember seeing this on anything else.
I honestly can't off the top of my head remember certainly Omega doing anything on that watch family of that ilk. Has there been locking chronos? Yes, there has, but I can't think of certainly anything modern from Omega that's done it, or certainly anything modern from many brands that have done it. Usually it's done mechanically, so you would have a screw down pusher, like on the Seiko, for example, on the Commando watch. That's got the screw down pushers on it as well, so you've got them to physically block them. This one looks like it's those. I mean, obviously those are a pain, they're fine, but if you've got gloves on or it's muddy or it's wet or anything else, it's going to be a real pain to undo them. And this one will let you kind of lock them and unlock them within, I'm guessing, like a split of a second. You just slide it and it's undone. So yeah, it's a cool little innovation. It looks good. I actually think it looks like it's just a cool looking watch. It's a good looking watch. And what I'm particularly pleased about is the fact that they've now got their quick release function for the bracelet and the rubber straps now. So no more spring bar tools. They've just got the little center part on the middle. Pull it in and it retracts the two pins, and you can pull the bracelet or the strap off. So that's, to be fair, it should have been done a while ago. It's been a long time coming. coming with Omega to do that. But I think so many watch brands, to be honest, have cottoned on now to people like changing straps. So let's make it easy so you don't need to maul the watch case to get them off or do any damage, so you can out it them on and off easily. They've suddenly realised there's big money to be made in selling straps. Do we know anyone that makes money from selling straps?
Possibly imagine.
No, I can't either. But you know, apparently there's money to be made in straps. So, and mm-hmm. I think a lot of the bigger brands have suddenly cottoned on to this, because I mean, I can remember a few years ago, you know, you would get into Omega and go, oh, look, what other strap colours have you got that would fit this? And they just look at you as if,
none.
What would you want to do that for? And, you know, they would have to actually trawl through the system.
Like walking into a car dealership and saying, what other coloured doors can I get for this?
They just assumed you wear what it comes on and that's it. And but you know, now to the point where actually one thing I did notice was Omega, obviously they've been doing their kind of premium NATOs for a while and you've been able to see them or buy them on their website, but now they've actually got a whole range of just regular leather straps, rubber straps, you know, different kind of materialed straps on there, and the points and buckles and everything. So they have definitely cottoned on to the fact that people like messing about with these things and changing them. So great, make it easier to change them. Then, you know, I think that's a good thing, because I certainly would, it would be something that I would look for.
David?
Yes, Ricky?
The question on everybody's lips.
Have I got one? Predictable! I mean, not immediately. I saw it and I thought that's really cool. I have no doubt that it's one that I'm going to go and have a little sniff at and see it.
It smells of metal and ceramic.
I've got absolutely no need for
any watches from now onwards.
That full stop. But you know, a Regatta, you know, it's a pretty specific tool. But then in saying that, so is a chronograph. So are many other things. But I think it's cool, and I will absolutely have a look see when I can get my hands on one for definite. As to whether I would rush out and buy one, no, because it's probably not specifically in my wheelhouse. But I would be quite happy if I had one. Put it like that.
Totally. Right, okay, spec rundown, because this is something we always forget in the show. And you guys are sitting there going, right, okay, what the hell are you talking about? Omega Speedmaster Diver, 300 metres. Chronograph America's Cup. It has got a blue ceramic wave pattern dial, stainless steel construction, ceramic bezel diameter, 44mm, as you'd expect, sapphire crystal front and back. On the case back, it has got an engraving on the bezel to do with the 36th America's Cup. Movement is in-house calibre 9900, which is not automatic chronograph, column wheel mechanism, master chronometer certified, precision 0 to plus 5 seconds per day on average, 60 hour power reserve. Says on the movement, barrel 1 and barrel 2, so doesn't mention anything about that, but split, you know.
Sure, it shows a coaxial movement in them. To answer your question, now that I've had a closer look at the image, there's one thing that would really put me off it, which is the fact that the second hand counterweight has got like a logo for the America's Cup in it. That would annoy me, strangely enough. A bit like why I don't like most of the Bond ones when they've got the 007 on the second hand. No problem, they can put what they want on the case back. I just would rather they didn't put stuff on the dial.
It is a coaxial and resistant to 300 metres, as you would expect. Stainless steel bracelet includes an additional rubber strap with quick release system.
Careful, what you're describing there.
No. I'm reading this from Fratello's website, and they don't say it's got a rubber strap. They say it's got a rubble strap. It's made of bricks.
A quick release brick. The local Neds will love it.
Ah, those crazy Dutch bastards. So there we go. And it is 9,500 Swiss francs, 5-year international warranty, yada yada. Let's see if anyone in the comments has commented that they got that wrong.
Indeed, indeed.
No. They didn't. So yeah,
they didn't.
Rubble strap, brilliant.
I don't know whether you picked up earlier, but I think the only thing actually genuinely having a good look at the picture there that actually would irk the hell out of me about it is the counterweight on the second hand. Disappointingly, they've put the America's Cup logo is the little counterweight, and that does annoy me in the same way as 007 annoys me on the counter second hand on the some of the special issues. If they'd left that alone, I could deal with the America's Cup engraving on the case back, but nah, that would kill it for me, unfortunately.
Little counterweight on the hand there reminds me of the Rooster checkback stick that you get in Nando's.
Aye, it's definitely got hints of that, hasn't it? Yep, definitely. Again, looking at it, UK, 8,800 UK. Not mental money, not a bargain, but not mental money. And actually about that, the lock-in thing, it does say it locks the chrono buttons on the Omega website. So I'm guessing it does actually must interfere with the buttons in some way. The way you look at it, if you look at the up close, it looks like the button looks like you get a thumb in it, but it looks like it's a very thin piece that goes in under the bezel. So I'm guessing what it does is it swings something round with a gap so that when you push the button, it's not hitting against anything, would be my guess. But it looks quite clever. Engineering wise, that's a clever little thing. And weirdly, it kind of balances up. I know a lot of folk hate the helium valves in these things. But
it does, it balances out with symmetry.
With the two chrono buttons, the helium button and that button there, they're not quite all the same shape, but it definitely gives it more of a kind of feel, a symmetry feel to it. Yeah. So yeah, cool looking piece. Would like to see one in real life. We'll tell you after a physically handled one.
Excellent. Right. Well, we have run out of time because we've talked a lot about watch stuff, but I haven't really got through much watch news. But there is another show coming. That's the benefit of doing two shows a week. So in the next episode, I will run through with whoever it is, if it's you, Rick may actually be back because things are starting to get a bit easier. We will rattle through the new releases. There's a new Breitling Top Time. There is a new IWC. Maurice Lacroix have got a new GMT Icon Ventura. There's loads and loads of stuff, plus all the Grand Seiko. So we'll keep that for the next edition and we'll drop all the news of the releases. And there may just do a full watch news show. That'd be something a little bit unique and different, wouldn't it?
My God, we might trade description the act, you know, we actually talk about watches.
That would be good. But before we go, there is one last thing to say, and it's a quick one. Nick over at Fears has got a new release out today, which we're recording this on Friday the 26th, and it's five pieces in a lovely chocolate brown colour.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've seen this one. They're probably all gone by the time you hear this, but yeah, go check it out. I mean, Fears are just on the way up. Last year, they had an amazing year. We've been told a few things behind the scenes of what they've got planned, and Nick just works his socks off 24/7, dealing with everybody that messages. He was telling me that he gets messages and emails and Instagram throughout the day and night from across the world, and he's always back on the case with people. So go check this out. It's a beautiful dial. Don't know if it's better than the one you've got, because I'm really quite liking that red one that you've posted, but this is nice.
I mean, don't get me wrong, that is, I we've talked about it before, I really like kind of that brown nicotine, whatever color you want to call it, browny antique color and dial. I think it looks absolutely stunning, and I think that watch really suits it. And funnily enough, the bund strap, I think is it two, three straps come with it, I believe. I think that's right, isn't it? I think the bund strap looks absolutely stellar on that watch. I know a lot of folk hate bund straps. I quite like them, to be honest, on the right watch, but I think that watch just looks banging. And it's very little. I think what's $3,750 including VAT in the UK. So again, it's a very small premium over a regular blue or white, or what's the colours, blue, white and salmon dials. So, you know, I think you're a few hundred pounds premium over it, but you're getting extra straps. It's a 105 limited with a case back engraving. Absolutely cracking. Typical Nick attention to detail.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we've got some things happening with him shortly, some video content and other stuff. Can't talk about it just now, but this is just way out there for Nick. It's not a dive watch, as far as I know, but it's way out there. This one here,
I think it's burnt okra, I think they call it, isn't it? Okra. Burnt okra. Okra. Jesus Christ. Is this your Rick moment? What's that? We'll need to take you to a tribunal.
A tribunal? Jesus Christ. Jeez. Yep. So it's got enamel okra, cream numerals and hands, limited to five number pieces, part of his 175th anniversary celebration of Fears Watch Company. It uses the same 38mm stainless steel case as a Brunswick Salmon, but it's got the closed case back. It'll be engraved with the limited edition number and the 175 anniversary emblem. Comes with three straps, like you mentioned. Bun strap, which is made from unbuck buffalo with Alcantara lining and chocolate brown with an ivory stitch. NATO strap, probably not from Barking Jack, but hey, you know, can't win them all. Which is bronze brown NATO with brushed stainless steel hardware, and it's got a goat's leather, rich mink brown colour, cream lining leather strap as well. Available to purchase from the Fears website as of today. So hopefully there will be at least a couple left, but... he's starting to build such a loyal fan base of collectors for these watches that they go quick. And brilliant. That's exactly what should be happening, because he is one of the genuine good guys. He's helped us out since day one with Scottish Watches, back when nobody was listening. He came on, he helped out with stuff, so we do look after him because he looked
absolutely
after us.
And you know, the other thing he's done as well, which is, you know, like as we've talked about, and I know that there's been a few Clubhouse chats about it, people getting on their high horses about this, how do you release something when it's super limited? Well, it's always difficult, but there was pictures of it available, not a huge amount before, but a good few hours before it went out. He told everyone what time it was going live, and, you know, I think it was as democratic as you could make it, so everyone could get a look at it. They knew the price of it, they got a feel for it, and then it went on sale a few hours later, so they didn't have to buy on the spur of the moment. So, you know, I think it's never perfect, but it was probably one of the better done releases of a watch that I've seen done in a while.
100%. And that brings us to the end of our show. So, yep, thanks Dave for coming on, stepping in, taking over the controls from Rick, because he does leave them in a sorry state every time he's been here.
He's like a crash test dummy for like the, you know, car test, isn't he? You know?
Oh, editing. This is the thing. I was talking to Catelyn about this. Working with Rick over the last 2 years, I feel like an abused spouse, because I've got that Stockholm syndrome of when I'm working with them, you don't realise how bad it is until you take a step away. Aye. And then you work with somebody that knows what they're doing, and you're like, oh, this is how easy life should be. Then Rick comes back and the editing process just increases twofold. But last edition, we got a lot of good feedback. The Call Me Al thing went down well. The Tribunal stuff, the Ben Clymer bits, that Pornhub intro caught a lot of people off guard. Got some messages saying that people were walking down the road and stopped dead as soon as the first couple of seconds of that kicked in. And that was the look that I was going for. So, mission accomplished.
Indeed.
Excellent. Well, we shall head off. We will catch you soon. Don't have time to do a proper outro because we're running long, but check out Scottish Watches on Instagram. All the good stuff's posted there. YouTube channel, should be some new videos from Limited Edition and also James Porter and Son. And yeah, check back in a few days' time and we'll have all those new watch goodies talked about, chatted about, and maybe a couple of reviews as well, because we've got some more watches coming in. It leaves for me to say it's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from someone else as well.